His senses showed him the space plane sinking fast out of the sky a couple of kilometres behind him.
5 minutes, that's all they need.
They've got it, Pat said urbanely.
Razor fired his forearm gauze rifle. Targeting program-controlled muscles shifted the barrel round as his senses went into a track-while-scan mode. All his conscious thoughts had to do was designate. He picked off 3 knights with EE rounds and brought a further 2 horses down before the gauze rifle malfunctioned. Some of his processor blocks were glitched as well. Sensor resolution was falling off. He dumped the gauze rifle and switched to a 10mm automatic pistol. Chemical bullets which produced a scythe of kinetic death, and nothing the possess could do to stop it. 2 more knights were down when he ran out of spare magazines. White fire hit his shoulder, blowing his left arm off. A 2-meter jet of blood squirted out until his neural mnemonics closed artery valves. Pat was still sluicing bullets at a pair of knights off the Razor's left. Stimulant and suppressor programs were working hard to eliminate shock. Razor saw a mounted knight thundering towards him, whirling a mace around. A momentum prediction program went into primary mode. The horse was 3 meters away when Razor took 1 step back. His remaining hand came up inside the slashing arc of the mace. He grabbed, pulled, twisted. His carbon fiber skeleton twanged at the severe loading as the inertia of the spiked iron club yanked him off his feet. Glossing armor shrieked a metallic protest as the knight was catapulted backwards out of the saddle, then clanged like a bell as he landed. They climbed to their feet together. Razor raised the mace and started to walk forwards, a locomotion auto-balance program compensating for his lost arm. The knight saw him coming and pointed his broadsword like a rifle. White flame raced down the blade. "Cheat," Razor said. He detonated the fragmentation grenades clipped to his belt. Both of them vanished inside a dense swarm of furious black silicon microblades. A hurricane squall of rain stung Kelly's face as the space plane swooped 15 meters overhead. Its compressor nozzle efflux nearly overturned their hovercraft. She engaged the fan deflector and killed the impellers. They skidded to a rumbustious halt. The space plane slipped round sideways in the air, then landed hard, undercarriage struts pistoning upwards. Rain pattered loosely on its extended wings, dribbling off the flaps. Kelly turned round in her seat. The children were huddled together on the hard silicone deck, clothes soaked, hair scraggy. Terrified, crying, peeing in their shorts and pants, wide eyes stared at her brimming with incomprehension. There were no clever words left to accompany the scene for the recording. She simply wanted to put her arms round every one of them, pour out every scrap of comfort she owned. And that was far less than they deserved. 3 kilometers behind the hovercraft, EE explosions strobed chaotically, while antagonistic streamers of white fire curled and thrashed above the blood-soaked grass. "We did it," she thought. "The knights can't reach us now. The children are going to live. Nothing else mattered, not the hardships, not the pain, not the sickening fear." "Come on," she said to them, and the smile came so easily. "We're leaving now." "Thank you, lady," Jay said. Kelly glanced up as a figure hiked out of the rain. "I thought you'd left," she said. Sean Wallace grinned. His sodden LDC one-piece was shrunk round his body, mud and grass clung to his boots, but the humour in his eyes couldn't be vanquished. "Without saying goodbye? Ah, no, Miss Kelly, I wouldn't be wanting you to think the worst of me. Not you." He lifted the first child, a 7-year-old girl, over the gunwale. "Come along, then, you rabble. You're all going on a long, beautiful trip to a place far away." The space plane's outer airlock hatch slid open, and the aluminium stairs telescoped out. "Get a move on, Kelly, please," Ashley datavised. She joined Sean at the side of the hovercraft and began lifting the exhausted, bedraggled children out. Horst stood at the bottom of the stairs, carrying his small charges along. A word here, a smile, pat on the head. They scooted up into the cabin where Ashley cursed under his breath. as he tried to work out how on earth to fit them all in.